Rampage fans, welcome to Running with the Herd Live, the only live radio show dedicated to San Antonio Rampage Hockey. Here are your hosts, J.B. Williams, Nathan Mallett, and Topher Vanassi.
Feels good, man. Feels real good. It's Running with the Herd Live, summer update edition. J.P. Williams, Nate Mallett sitting next to me.
Howdy ho.
Topher Vanassi sitting across from me. The Twitter handles, the show Twitter handle, at RWTH Live. I'm on Twitter at TheJPWilliams. Nate's on Twitter at RampageNate. McNasty himself on Twitter at Topher Vanassi. You'll have to ask him how to spell it. Gentlemen, what's up? How y'all doing?
Happy summer vacation.
Yeah. So first things first, how is the summer been treating you? Because we never talk, Nate.
Started out pretty well. Now it kind of sucks. I got an empty house. Oh. Big old empty house, just me and the dogs, which sounds a lot better than it really is when you're used to having people around all the time.
Sure.
But it's been good. I got to go see family in Michigan. I went down to Mexico for a week to kind of just decompress and forget about life for a while. And now I am ready to get into hockey. I know it's the dog days of summer. We're coming up on August, which is the worst part of the hockey off season.
Yeah.
So, but I'm ready to get back into it. There's a lot to talk about, a lot going on, a lot of moving pieces surrounding this Rampage team.
That's true. Topher, how's summer going, man?
It's been really good. Yeah. I have a girlfriend now since
Congrats.
Last time I was on here, so we've gone hiking a lot, like, throughout Texas.
Nice.
So, yeah, a bunch of, like, little day trips that have been really fun.
Hell yeah, dude. We love the outdoors, me and the missus. Mm-hmm. We don't get out in the outdoors enough, but we try. Texas is a great place to live. It's not as scenic as some other places, but it's sneaky how there's a lot of sneaky little spots here in South Texas, especially, that cool places to go.
Yeah, like we went.
We're gonna have to compare our notes, man.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So where do you guys want to start here? We got a lot.
There's a lot to talk about.
Well, and it's so many different layers.
Yeah, it's rumors and it's speculation, and then there's...
And that's... It's kind of been a fun offseason so far because it's just a lot of unknown. And I guess looking back on previous seasons, we really have never had an offseason like this before. It's very unique. And I've enjoyed it so far just because typically at the beginning of every AHL season, it could be this year because there's so much turnover, but this one we have an idea, but there's a lot of moving pieces.
Well, there's so much happening and there's so much not happening that it's kind of
right.
Almost the stuff that's not happening is almost leading us down the path that we think we're headed towards just as much as the stuff that is happening. And we're going to talk about all this tonight, but it's just, like you said, this has been a very interesting and kind of unique offseason. We've always kind of known our place going into the next season. And there's so many things swirling around right now. We don't know exactly what our place is right now.
Yeah.
We're based on what's happened and what hasn't happened, we kind of have an idea, and based on things that legitimate news sources have said and based on internet rumors and all this stuff, we're kind of know where it's headed, but nothing's for sure yet, and we probably won't know, you know, for a couple of months, hopefully sooner than that. But, you know, until then, all we can do is sit here and speculate and research and throw rumors around and see what happens.
Speaking of speculation, we should go ahead and extend a welcome, because you've kind of been dancing around it mentioning this team name, but there are a lot of rumors that align San Antonio and St. Louis, so it's no secret, so we want to go ahead and extend a welcome to any St. Louis Blues fans that
absolutely
may be tuning in.
It sounds like you're going to have a couple of your boys down here this year. We'll talk about that later, and then possibly all of your boys down here in the, you know, coming seasons after this year.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that, and we'll see what happens. You know, it's the AHL. Anything can happen. You know, deals get broken all the time. There's just too, you know, that saying, there's too, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's just way too much smoke. Not to be a fire at this point.
Yeah. Something's going down. Do you want to, let's talk about the Blues rumors in general. I mean.
Well, you've got Jeremy Rutherford, who's the beat writer for the Blues.
And I have a buddy of mine in St. Louis says that he is the source.
Okay. That's good to know.
Amazing follow. If you're curious about anything that has to do with St. Louis, he is a great follow.
So he goes on the radio last week and basically throws San Antonio out there as a team that he mentioned Ville Husso, the goaltending, their top goaltending prospect by name, but he said there could also be some others as well that they're looking for, and San Antonio might be a place where they put those guys. So you've got, you know, the legitimate news source in St. Louis, and then you've also got a lot of chatter on minor league hockey message boards. Yes, they do exist. specifically from one poster who called the Vegas Chicago affiliation several months before it was official.
Right. And basically, before anyone really had any idea that was right. Could before the rumor starts swirling.
Yeah, he's a Wolves season ticket holder, and he's not shy about asking people questions and finding out what's going on behind the scenes. And he found out that Vegas was looking to move into Chicago. He actually at one point talked to David, I think his name's David Oliver, who's the director of player personnel for the Avalanche. And he asked him a question about, you know, Colorado players possibly moving somewhere, and got a very no comment-ish type answer.
Ooh.
This was, like I said, this was before Christmas time, I think.
Yeah.
And now he's on the message board again, and he's throwing some rumors out there. So we'll talk about that. So you've got, you know, legitimate news sources, and then you've got, I don't ever want to say like a season ticket holder's in the know, but unless this guy's blowing complete smoke, he has a history of calling
sure.
a shot.
Yeah.
And he's calling another shot. So we'll talk about that as well.
Topher, you're quiet over there. What's going on, man?
I was just looking at the very depressing current depth chart.
Oh God! Yeah, we'll definitely get in, and that's
I'll
another
boost your spirits later.
That's another thing that kind of ties into this, and I know we will break it down a little bit more later, but the fact that there's not a lot of players that look like they're coming to San Antonio from the Colorado side, and it's kind of a similar situation in St. Louis right now.
Yeah, the inactivity both in Colorado in the free agency and in San Antonio. You know, last year we had that big, huge shopping spree on July 1st, and this year we got three players, including a tweener ECHL AHL goalie, a career backup AHL goalie. So, you know, just the lack of activity kind of points to certain things happening.
Well, let's get into all that next. It's Running with the Herd Live.
The schedule, too.
What's that?
This ass-kicking schedule that we get.
Yeah, schedule came
year.
Out, what, yesterday?
Yesterday.
No bueno. No bueno. It's Running with the Herd Live. JP Williams, Nate Mallett, Topher Manassi. Going to take a break, and we will come back on the other side and get right into it.
One, two, three, four.
This is Sam Jardine of the San Antonio Rampage, and you are listening to Running with the Herd Live, Stucknut Radio Network.
You're listening to Running with the Herd live on the Stucknut Radio Network.
Mike Lavender's not lying. Running with the Herd live, JP Williams, Nate Mallett, Topher Manassi. Want to extend a thank you. What is this? Third season? Fourth season?
Fourth.
Fourth season on the Stucknut Radio Network. Steve, everybody in H-Town, appreciate it, guys. You guys are awesome. Keep doing your thing. The website, runningwithher.com, I think I failed to mention that when we got on the air. We got to shake the cobwebs off, man. This is first game of the season.
This is our training camp.
Yeah. You know, it's going to take us a little while to redevelop the chemistry. What are we doing here?
So we're going to talk about the Board of Governors statement that was released last week, I believe it was.
Which adds even more into the
the
cauldron.
It puts some, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, like finality, I guess. Is that a word?
Sure.
It shows that things are done behind the scenes. They're just waiting for agreements to be finished up or whatever. So the actual statement read as this. The AHL Board of Governors has made a commitment to an expansion applicant, which will see the AHL expand to 31 teams for the 18-19 season. Meaning they've had applicants and they've selected their applicant. That's how I read that.
That's how I read it, is that they know exactly who Team 31 is.
Right, exactly. This commitment assures that all 31 NHL clubs will have a full primary affiliation in the AHL for 18 and 19. So no more of what we're going through this year. And then the last sentence is kind of the catch-all here. The process of concluding related agreements is not yet complete. Once those agreements are in place, the NHL and AHL clubs involved will jointly announce them. So what it sounds to me like, and I know how SSNE works their agreements.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have to do some negotiating. Because the way SSNE works, and not all AHL teams work this way, is, and they've been this way from all the way from the first, I don't know about the first Florida deal, but from Phoenix through Florida again, and then this with this agreement with Colorado, the NHL team pays all salaries, one-way, two-way, AHL, ATOs, everything. And then SSNE takes care of equipment, travel,
yeah,
all that stuff. So I'm sure that there's some negotiating that's going on. If, in fact, I got to throw this in there again, if, in fact, it is, you know, a negotiation between the SSNE and the St. Louis Blues. So they're probably just waiting for that to be finished up. I would prefer going into a season knowing all the particulars for the season after, even if it means we know Colorado's leaving.
Yeah.
I don't want to have this whole dark cloud hanging over,
sure,
what possibly could happen in San Antonio all season long.
Yeah, but it's also, I wouldn't want to, and it's not a lost season. Obviously, Colorado has to continue to develop, and they want to put the best product on the ice. And, I mean, it's pretty much a given that we're going to have Blues players here. It just would, when Florida left the last time, when it was announced right before the playoffs started, and it just kind of, it was just weird. To me personally, I just didn't. It was just kind of bittersweet the whole time.
Would it have been weird for you if they didn't win the division?
That's true.
Go to,
yeah,
the playoffs.
That probably has a lot to do with it.
Because I don't see this team winning in the division.
Yeah, I mean,
if
they came in last, I would have been like, okay, that's great.
Yeah, that's what I'm
don't
saying.
Don't let the door hit you. Yeah. It just, well, it, I don't know. I guess
I can see both sides of the argument.
I mean, do you expect an announcement before the season starts? Your gut.
I'm hoping for one, but okay.
We've heard
the
from
way Colorado works and the way SSNE works, yeah, probably not.
We've heard from a few people that there will be news on this soon.
Yeah, Rutherford has said it more than once.
But is that referring to players, yeah, coming to San Antonio, or is that referring to the agreement next season? 18-19.
Never specified.
No, he just said there would be news coming.
I feel like if the agreement's in place, why would they wait an entire season?
That's how I feel. Like, just, yeah, let's rip that Band-Aid off and get it done and over.
Because it's happened plenty of times.
Right.
There's been, in, you know, teams know that their team is leaving. They have one more season to play there, and they're gone. I think that happened with the Flames affiliate last year. No, who was it? The Devils, maybe? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's in the East. But it happens.
The Forgotten, or not the Forgotten, the other conference.
The untalked about conference, yeah, that doesn't, the other league.
I just, like, you brought up the Florida thing when they were leaving. We all knew it was happening. We had this discussion on this show, just like we're having it now, where, yeah, smoke and fire and rumors and all this stuff. And I just think it's easier just put that out there, let all the fans know. Because I would be willing to bet there were still fans showing up to games for the playoffs that didn't know what was going to happen
after that
yeah, that's true,
final game. Let's just let everybody know so we can just move on and, you know, thank Colorado, give them a handshake, a little mile-high salute, and let's move on and, like, start, yeah, a new relationship.
Well, and again, as I mentioned previously, this has been such an interesting offseason. It's already been said that there at least is one St. Louis Blues player that's coming to San Antonio.
Yeah, the name we keep seeing over and over again is Husso.
Right.
And the lack of signing a goalie for an NHL team, meaning Colorado, with zero depth,
yeah,
kind of just tells me that that's going to happen.
Well, they did sign Bernier.
Well, yeah, but then after that, it's Spencer Martin.
Right.
Who had, what, almost a 4 goals against last year?
Yeah.
He's not ready. Like, if they had a Jeremy Smith in San Antonio,
yeah,
I could see where that argument is. Spencer Martin's not ready for the NHL, and if one of those two, Varlamov in his, you know, breakable groin, Mr.
Right.
Glass up there, then they're looking at, I mean, they're going to look at Spencer Martin anyway, but then are they going to leave Joe Cannata as their starter at the AHL level?
Yeah, that, I mean, does nobody
maybe.
Any.
Does put nobody any past good, the so. Avalanche, but
true.
I just don't see that happening. I think they know already coming in that there are players on the way, and they don't want to, You know, they don't want to fill those spots because they know they're going to be filled by other by another team.
I guess just
There's only two ways to look at it, really. The one is that they know other people are coming. The other is that the ECHL team won the championship and they want to give chances to people.
Because how many guys are there?
I don't know. I mean, I mean, we can talk about it later. We
like
can talk
Nantel's
about it now.
Already
I mean,
here.
They have 9 forward right now.
Yeah, Nantel's already here. Boykov's already here.
Well, all right. Look, you want to get into the what we have, what's in front of us right now? I know we had on the roll sheet.
We're
going to
talk
about some St. Louis Blues chatter, get back into it. But, I mean, let's look at the team that is in front of us.
Yeah, okay. So, if you look at the NHL team right now, if Nieto signs after his RFA, which, I mean, every RFA resigns, yeah. Unless they go back to
unless
Russia.
They go to Europe, right?
Yeah. That gives them 13 forwards. So, pretty much the forward core is set. So, that would include Compher, but it wouldn't include Greer. So, that would give you, for forwards currently under contract for the AHL, Agostino, Bodin, Vogelhuber, Greer, Nantel, and Petrick. So 6.
That's not including your RFAs, right?
Right. And Then there's the RFAs of Gabriel Borg, Gerard, and Rocco. So if you sign all the RFAs, which presumably they will, that gives you 3 lines.
Yeah.
So they're 4 forwards short.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they
could they fill that in with those Belzile type? Sure.
Yeah, but that's garbage.
Exactly.
That would be
terrifying. Don't get me wrong. I love Alex Belzile, but if you got a guy going up or a guy getting injured,
right?
Belzile's scooching up the lineup, and there's nothing behind Belzile.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and you're going to gut the ECHL team, too. Right. I mean,
so either they need to sign 2 other guys or there's 2 prospects coming, and then you fight those last 2 spots out. But I don't know if Jesse Mikan's still under contract, but like the Jesse Mikan's of the world fight it out.
Most of those.
I don't want a season of that.
No.
I mean,
no offense to him.
I don't.
If he's like the 11th forward, that's not the end of the world.
Sure. No, absolutely.
But if he's the.
But we're talking him being kind of a regular guy.
Right.
And that's. We've had seasons like that before.
We had
here.
One of the worst teams in the league last year, and we didn't have a regular guy at the level of Jesse Mikan.
Yeah.
We did. I mean, we had NHL guys on NHL contracts playing, or AHL guys that were like ECHL all stars. Filling those spots.
Yeah.
We didn't have Jesse Mike a plug who goes down to the ECHL and might get 15 or 20 points.
Well, Jesse Mikan was very good in the ECHL when he got called up.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know why we're talking so much crap about Jesse Mikan.
I feel bad for the guy. He did nothing to deserve this.
I was using him as an example of like Suna came up for 2 or 3 games that I thought like decently well.
I'll defend him. I think he had pretty good numbers in the ECHL.
No,
yeah,
I
he was.
That.
I think he was the leading scorer when he got called up.
You know
elite prospects
right. I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yeah, I remember when 37, he came up.
37 points in 34 games.
Yeah, I was thinking of somebody else. I don't know who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I remember when he played, my description of him was, he didn't really do that much, but he looked good doing it.
So, explain that.
I just thought he like looked like he was perfectly fine out there.
He wasn't
like,
uncomfortable out of place.
Right, exactly. And he just, you know, he played like 7 minutes a night, so he didn't really have a chance to do much. And he
But you bring up a point. In defending Jesse Mikan,
yeah.
Don't you want? Your
I didn't think this podcast would be me spending 5 minutes
poor
defending
Jesse
Mikan.
Don't you want your fourth line playing a couple more than 7 minutes a night? Aren't
yeah,
you taxing
I don't think
your
Jesse
Mikan too much?
Really has the.
But it was happening.
The game for being on the fourth line,
right? Yeah, he's like I'll go back to Bobby Butler.
Yeah,
but we're going up. You know,
yeah,
he's an AHL All Star, can score goals in bunches. But you put him in the NHL, he can't play a bottom 6
exactly.
role. He's got to be.
And
in
he's
a
not
going to
play a
top
6.
He's not good
right.
enough to play a top 6.
Yeah.
So you have your 4A players, I guess you can call them. Mikan's kind of that 2.5
Ben Street type
A players. Yeah, Ben Street. He's another example. Good one.
Yeah, Ben Street's
a Agostino is an example of this. So,
well, let's talk.
So
we'll go ahead, Topher.
I was going to say that's the forwards.
Yeah,
defensemen,
still have the whole defense portion to talk about.
There's if Zadorov does not go to CSKA Moscow, then they have 4 defensemen.
I don't believe that for a second.
Which means that 3 of the defensemen currently here need to go on the NHL team. So let's assume.
Good luck with that.
Let's
Colorado.
Assume that's Bigra, Mironov, and Siemens.
Mironov's going to be up.
You could throw in Warsawski or Lindholm as one of them, but let's just go with Bigra, Mironov, Siemens. So
that, I think that's the smart way to go, too. Because I think
that's
what
I would do.
You want Bigra on your bottom pair right now. You can put him with whoever.
Yeah.
Maybe Barbario or whatever. And then you have Siemens as your extra. That's the role he's going to be in the NHL. He can still grow, obviously. But right now, he's your seventh defenseman who can sub in occasionally.
Yeah, I think he'd be fine as a third pair guy playing like 12 minutes. But I also get why they would want to play a KHL player and Bigar over him.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so like,
that takes three off of our depth chart here in San Antonio.
So that leaves Worsoski, who they just signed.
Who could also go up.
Yeah, I mean, he's in that.
I think I have on my depth chart, I think it's a toss-up between him and Bigra, whoever outperforms the other.
I mean, that's fair. But,
and then they can swap later on.
You have one of Worsoski or Bigra. You have one of Lindholm or Siemens. Boykov, Malosh, and Gertsen. So there's still two defensemen missing.
To fill the complete
lineup?
I mean, that's
five. That's five defensemen. Okay. You need at least seven.
Yeah. Okay, so that's two with an extra.
So, like, best case right now, they're missing four forwards and two defensemen,
they have no activity.
Which would give a lot of smoke to know they're getting some other people.
And gives them zero ECHL players.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, we're dancing around it again, but what would potentially fill those holes?
Okay, so we talked about Rutherford, and he mentioned Husso specifically, and he did say in his interview, and possibly some other players. So digging around, I found the same source online, the same message board, who says that these are his exact words from his post. According to what I was told by two different people draft week, it's going to go like this. And he speaks in absolutes. He doesn't. He might be wrong, but he's very confident in what he's saying. St. Louis will send some players to Chicago this year. Think Jake Wallman and lesser prospects. So like their ECHL bubble guys, they're fresh out of juniors, kind of guys.
The St. Amants and the from a last year perspective,
St. Louis will also send the majority of its top-tier prospects to San Antonio. Think Vince Dunn, Tage Thompson. And we'll get into the guys that could possibly come here and where, like I talked to a couple of Blues fans, where they might fit into the depth chart. And then it says what we kind of all have been hinting at. Colorado will split San Antonio with St. Louis for this season. Not sure how the player allotment will work with regards to who is put where, but the top prospects from St. Louis and Colorado will go to San Antonio this year. And I think the reason for that is there's a couple of reasons, and the reason that was cited by the person he talked to was there's direct flights from San Antonio to St. Louis. Now, obviously, Chicago's closer, but I think they're looking at more than just direct flights. I think they're looking at maybe Colorado's a little bit more willing to bring those guys in, and Vegas is like, we're going to play our guys first. This is our affiliation. That's just the way it is. And also, and we talked about this briefly before we came on, it's possible that both San Antonio and St. Louis are kind of setting up for what might come next year.
Sure.
They're bringing guys in here. They're putting familiar faces in here. So when there is that change next summer, when they bring the guys back, we know some of the guys. We know a handful of guys that are coming back. There's familiarity. They're already selling the product in one season as a split affiliation.
I guess it could just be a coincidence. There's been so much smoke and so much everything around San Antonio and St. Louis being affiliated the next season. It's just for San Antonio to be the team where they're starting to send their prospects, I feel like it's kind of a slam dunk at this point.
There's no such thing as a coincidence after a certain number of coincidences.
Let me just float this out there too. Could this also tie into all this? I think all of these things that we have mentioned are very valid and legit points. But I mean, could it also be a financial thing from Colorado? They don't have to sign guys. They don't have to fill out an AHL roster. You mentioned perhaps Colorado is a little more willing to play ball with a St. Louis who found themselves kind of in the middle of we don't have an affiliate. Maybe it's a financial thing for Colorado. I mean, they're like, you can come here, put your guys here, and we don't have to. They're good. We don't have to sign anybody.
You look at the money that they dropped last year in free agency for their AHL team, and it was a complete disaster.
So now
they have an opportunity where they don't have to spend that money. And I'm not calling them cheap or they're not willing to spend, but if you don't have to spend money, you know, and you know that next season you're going to be moving your guys out of San Antonio.
You're not helping a division rival really either.
And you're going to buy an AHL franchise. Yeah. You might as well save that money and, you know, or take that money and allot it somewhere else. I think that has a huge role in it, too.
Speaking of the Avs, I know, like, just to go with the cheap thing, I know 2 years ago I...
Who said cheap?
I definitely blamed them 2 years ago for that team being trash.
Yeah.
But last year, it was pretty obvious that they really wanted to have a successful AHL team.
I agree.
And they spent a ton
100%.
Of money. It's just that...
They did it the wrong
between
way.
Between injuries and... I don't know,
the
chemistry
guys.
Or
well,
something.
Also, yeah,
it just
I also
didn't
think,
work out.
And I will
underachievement.
Yeah, I'll go to my grave saying this. I thought signing all those players before having a coach, even if they had an idea who the coach was.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And then Bednar gets hired in August, so he's going to bring in a whole new system. You know, they didn't even know who was going to. They didn't know Patrick Waugh was leaving when they signed Sislo and O'Brien.
Yeah.
These big, Sislo's not big, but like these. The quad A guys. They didn't know that Waugh was leaving, so he might fit that system that they were going to run.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, Waugh leaves, Bednar comes in, and you do want to have some similarities in the systems that you're running between your NHL and AHL team.
Of course.
You know, I'll bring up a quote later from Todd Nelson in Grand Rapids. It's not 100% all the time, but you're going to want to have those guys at least familiar with it.
Oh, of course.
And so not having a coach in the NHL level, well, they had one, but a different coach, and then not having an AHL, they just got the wrong guys. Because you see, when they went out and got Girard came here and put up, not ridiculous, but
he was great.
Career numbers
for
him.
Yeah,
he was really good. He's a smaller guy. He played 200 feet, good defensive player, face-off guy. He fits more into Bednar's system than Jim O'Brien,
Ranford,
who's 6'3".
Who didn't score at all?
Yeah,
when he
Colin
was in,
Smith. They bring in Colin Smith, who can't defend worth a damn it, but he fit right perfectly into that offensive system that they wanted to run.
Yeah. I mean, also Sislo, I think a lot of what Sislo is the defenseman last year. Because, I mean, they tried that same thing over and over again, which is he's a righty, so he takes a slap shot from the
left
side.
Circle, yeah.
And it didn't work because no one could feed. They fed it to him properly 5 times last year, and he scored twice on it. And then he goes, you know, like once he got traded, he had 8 goals in 18 games.
Yeah.
It's just like it goes with you that they just didn't fit.
Yeah. And I'm not faulting them for that.
Yeah.
It just wasn't.
They tried for sure.
They tried. They just didn't go about it the right way.
Yeah.
Sislo, who was our, I think, most disappointing player last year, had more goals in 18 games in Toronto than he had in 54 here.
What are you talking about? He was my MVP at the beginning of the year.
Well, I meant at the end of the year. End of the year.
The hurties.
Yeah. I think he won most disappointing.
It's going to be an interesting... I'm going to be very gun-shy when we make our predictions to start this season.
I've already tweeted to somebody today. I'm not even counting this as a playoff season.
I learned my lesson last year.
I'm going into the season with like low expectations.
Yeah.
I learned my lesson last year.
I'm also very gun-shy about split affiliations because of what happened the last time.
Yeah. We'll see. So running with Herd Live, JP Williams, Nate Mallett, Toe from Nassie. Going to take a break, come back on the other side, and talk signings. Believe it or not, there have been a few. So we'll talk about that on the other side. It's Running with the Herd Live.
Ici Samuel Henley de San Antonio Rampage. Vous écoutez Running avec Herd Live sur StockNot Radio Network.
Rampage fans, welcome back to Running with the Herd Live. Here are your hosts, JP Williams, Nathan Mallett, and Topher Manassie.
Just a reminder, if you can't listen to this entire show, we're a podcast. We're going to look a little more into the podcast thing this year. We've got some feedback over the off season, and
I had 30-something people respond in a survey. One answered that they listen live.
Speaking of
it's
listening
probably
live,
Mike.
I was just going to say.
Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for listening live.
He's in here. Says he was referring to the rejoin that we played a minute ago, or the bump there with Sam Henley. He says, I think I'll miss him the most.
Yeah. We're going to have to delete that bump.
Yeah. It's really frustrating because you go and get these and we put them together. And then, I mean, I guess that's just
life. Well, I thought
life
Henley would be a guy that might
stick
around for a while.
Yeah,
that's why
that comes as a surprise that
picked Boykov and him.
Yeah, that he wouldn't qualify.
It came as a surprise to me just because they have zero depth.
Yeah,
and that seems like a guy, you know, he actually got called up once upon a time.
Yeah,
you'd think
has the best shooting percentage in the NHL last year.
Was it 100%?
Yes.
He only had one shot that game?
I think he has the best goal.
It was
goal.
A goal from like the half wall, too.
Yeah,
like
I think
a
he has the best
shot.
Goals per 60, too, because I think he only played like 5 minutes in that game and scored a goal, so he averages 12 goals a game.
He is an advanced stats darling.
Hang up
he
his
really
skates.
Is.
That's amazing. All right. What are we doing?
Let's talk about who they did bring in on July 1st.
Yeah.
A couple of familiar faces. First one, probably the bigger of the two, and Andrew Agostino, former Rampage great.
Now, I was talking, I mentioned to you
former
during
Rampage
the break.
Above average.
There if he can stay healthy, knock on wood.
He was healthy last year.
Well, yeah, he wouldn't hear, though. but he did play in Chicago last year as a under contract with St. Louis.
With a lot of these St. Louis Blues prospects.
And I wonder if maybe Colorado, there was some familiarity there. God, I haven't been drinking that much. And I don't know, maybe I don't know. What am I? I'm just looking into
I think there's
here.
Familiarity with Colorado. I think also think he's more of a Bednar Veiu kind of guy.
So you don't think there is necessarily anything
that
might've, to the...
Well, just, there might have that might have had some bearing on the situation, but I don't think that they would sign a guy
for St. Louis
just because...
I'm just saying if they knew that Blues players were going to be down here, maybe...
It's going to make the team Rampage better, you would... Yeah.
Maybe it maybe rub off on the prospects. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just it's kind of it's a funny coincidence.
Another coincidence.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. He had 54 points last year, 71 games. Played on that top line with Agostino, Barbashev for a while, Wade Megan. We'll see what he brings back to the team. Yeah.
He had 11 power play goals last year, so that's something that would have been just outside like the he probably would have been fifth because I'm looking at the list and fifth was 12. So he. That was a big problem for a lot of the year last year. Since bringing in a guy who's like top 10 in power play goals can't hurt.
Huh.
What is absolutely. Wars of Sky?
Look at the guy's name. Like, take those hyphens out.
Oh.
I like it.
That's pretty good.
Anyway. So, also, the second
really
familiar face before we get to Wars of Sky, everyone's favorite backup goalie, Joe Cannata. Hello, Mutta. Hello, Fada.
You got creative
we
with
traded
these.
Corbett for Joe Cannata.
Well, he's back. Yeah.
Hopefully we don't see him.
I said when they announced the signing on July 1st, I quoted it and I made a tweet. Looks like my late April, early May is going to be open again this year.
Well, if he's your starting goaltender.
But this was before all of this other,
yeah,
you know, smoke signal started being sent around. So hopefully.
Nothing against Joe.
Hopefully he's your, you know, he's sharing time in Colorado with, what's his name, Hefner? He's the one that won the cup last year for him. Travis,
I have literally no idea.
Travis Hefner, I think. Hopefully he's splitting time with him, and then he can come up in case Husso or Martin has to go up or somebody gets hurt.
By the way, we haven't had a show since Colorado won the Turner Cup? What is it?
The Kelly Cup.
Kelly Cup.
So. Congratulations to the Eagles.
Yeah, congrats.
And all the boys from San Antonio.
Yeah, there was a lot of them.
And they played a huge role.
Yeah.
Nantel went caught fire. Belzeal was fire the whole
playoffs.
Didn't
Belzeal have like a point and a half a game? Basically?
Yeah, he was at like 26 points in 20 games or something crazy like that.
So they're going to win a cup and then be admitted into the American Hockey League a couple seasons later.
Yeah.
It's good. Where is that team at? Colorado?
Loveland.
Loveland.
Just north of Denver. Like northwest of Denver. Yeah. It's a suburb.
Alex Belzeal, he had 12 points in 45 in the AHL last year, and then he had 26 in 18 playoff games in the ECHL and 27 in 17 regulation games.
Yeah, that guy's an ECHL stud.
Yeah, wow. He's like quad A for AHL, ECHL.
Wars of Sky.
Okay, David Orsowski. He's a little fella for a defenseman. 5'9 defenseman. Played with Wilkes-Barre Scranton last year, so you know he's coming from a good system. But we're going to get to that in a second. He put up 47 points last year in 58 games as a defenseman, as a 5'9 defenseman.
Yeah.
And so, naturally, when I see
he's got a shot, I assume.
My first reaction is, he's Max Noreau.
Yeah.
You know, he can skate. He's got a shot. He quarterbacks the power play. Probably doesn't play a damn bit of defense. But according to Jason Iacona, who goes to every single Penguins game in existence, home game anyway, and watches all the other ones, he doesn't embarrass himself in his own end. He actually plays pretty well. He doesn't stand out as a bad defensive player, so he's pretty solid two-way player. Now, I'm going to throw some caution into this. One, he's on a one-way this year.
Yeah.
So that could lead Colorado to maybe want to bring him up instead of a Bigras or Siemens or somebody like that.
But they've done that in the past. They've had guys on one ways that they've had no problems. Sticking in San Antonio,
making NHL money. So there's that caution. But my biggest caution is he comes from a very good team that runs a very good system. They've been a playoff team for like 15 straight years. And we saw Joe Whitney, Jim O'Brien, Mike Sislo, good players coming out of good teams. Didn't work. And then also last year was a huge outlier for him statistically. He had 47 points last year. I think his previous career high was like 30-something.
I noticed that. 30 and or you 31. Think maybe it was just the system? Or
he was playing with really good players.
Yeah. I mean, one thing, though, for positivity is he led all defense in the AHL in shots.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't like a lucky thing. It was he was presumably driving play if he was averaging 3 shots a game as a defenseman.
Yeah. I just think you have to throw that caution out there.
We're so jaded.
Fans that might think he's going to come in here and just start, you know, putting up AHL all-star numbers again.
Not after last year, man.
Yeah.
Seen it not work.
I went through before because, you know, this is how I work. And he was second among all defensemen, even strength points.
He's not a power play specialist.
No, he only had 17 power play points.
I was going to
say. So these are a couple of his rankings because I spent like 20 minutes doing this. So yeah, he was second.
That's why you're here.
He was second.
That's why you get paid the big bucks.
All defensemen, even strength points. He was third in defenseman goals. He was seventh in defenseman points, and he was fourth in defenseman power play goals. So like, he was a true AHL star last year.
Yeah.
Whether that was he really worked out in the offseason and took a jump, or
I worry
it was
about
a career year.
Yeah, I worry about a 27-year-old having a career year. Is, you know, is it legit? Is it something that's going to stick around, or was it just kind of one of those perfect?
He's on
perfect
the
time for perfect place.
What did he? Situation. He's been. Oh, he was in the Bruins system for a while, I guess.
Yeah.
Presumably, he has 2 Stanley Cup rings because he played for the Penguins during the regular season.
Wasn't there a certain number of games you have to?
Well, that's to get on the cup, but I would assume they give rings. Because I know, like,
really? He would have
at
got
least
it.
In baseball, like, there's some guy who played for the Yankees in 1999 and pitched one inning and he got a ring.
I'm pretty sure he would have got it in 15-16. I think you have to play, like, 10 games or something like that.
No, to make it on the cup, it's 41 or a finals game.
Is it one finals game or one playoff game?
I think it's finals game.
No, I don't know.
But to make for the ring, it's up to the team.
Oh, the ring. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. So who's not coming back?
Everyone.
There's some fan favorites on that list.
Which list?
Of players that were not qualified and are not coming back.
Oh, well, I mean, help.
So
Sam Haley, to be, you know,
if you just run down the list, and if you want to, you can go to runningwiththeherd.com, find my off-season tracker.
Plug it.
All of this will be right at your fingertips.
Yeah.
Alex Belzile still not signed, so he could always come back as, you know, that bottom six.
I like Alex.
I do, too. He does the things that you like to watch a player
Running
do.
With the Herd's own Alex Belzile. We're going to claim him.
Oh, we're going to claim him.
Until he signs somewhere else. And then.
But a couple of names that are on here not qualified, meaning the Avs had their rights and decided not to give him a qualifying offer. Troy Burke, Cowboy Troy.
That's a bummer, man.
Sam Henley.
Also a bummer, man.
I think that's the one that kind of surprises me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can
he's
see
a big
Bork,
guy. He's not a strong skater, but he's big.
He had the A last year.
Well, they invested a lot in him. I mean, not money.
Put
wise,
a lot of time.
But, yeah, I mean,
and it's not like they have all this depth.
And I feel like
just
he was
him up.
He was a, you know, kind of a locker room guy.
Well, you give a guy an A. I mean,
yeah. He's a part of the leadership group.
Yeah, I always enjoyed talking to him. Eric Jelena, not qualified.
I am stunned.
That's sarcasm for our people that can't see Topher's face right now. And I think that was the last of the not qualifieds. But guys like Matt Clark go to free agency. Sam Jardine, Jim O'Brien, Ranford still hasn't signed.
Yeah.
The guys that are gone, Jeremy Smith signs with Carolina to be their starter in Charlotte, I would imagine. Colin Smith signs with Wilkes-Barre. He's going to go up there and put up silly numbers, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not have to play defense.
Mike Sislo, we're going to get to see him 6 times this year.
Oh, he signed with Phoenix, right? Or Arizona?
Signed with Arizona. He'll
over
probably,
under
I'm
6
sure
goals.
In 6 games, I'll take the under.
What, against San Antonio?
Yeah.
I'll take the over.
He signs with Arizona. He'll probably be in Tucson. Our favorite, double N, Gary Nunn, signs over in Norway.
Good for him.
The only one so far.
He'll get paid.
That's headed off to Europe. And then Turner Elson signs with my Detroit Red Wings. He's going to go up there and light it up with Ben Street. all the cast off Rampage players go up to Grand Rapids and win cups. That's how it works.
What was the captain from a number of years ago that did that? The like former Grand Rampage Rapids? Captain. Yeah.
Ben Street.
No. Another one.
Jeff Hogan.
Hogan.
Yeah, Jeff Hogan is another one.
Yeah, they've had two of our captains. Yeah. And both of them have cups. Weird. Yeah.
Good thing they're my second team.
So RFA still to sign?
So RFA still to sign. Topher mentioned it earlier. Bork, Gerard, Grimaldi, and Siemens.
I hope Gerard is back.
Both Grimaldi and Siemens were arbitration eligible, but they did not file for arbitration. So that's a good sign.
So you think Rocco has a chance to be up?
Sure.
I mean, he has a chance. Will he? I mean, the better question.
I don't think, not to start, I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because
he does have to go through waivers, though, so that's kind of a tenuous
situation.
You would
think he has to have a shot just because they protected him during the expansion draft, mm-hmm. but they have 13 forwards.
Like, are they going to call him up to sit?
I mean, are they going to have 14 forwards?
Are they going to sit, you know, guys that are making $2, $3 million a year?
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I'm looking at it. I don't know who they would send down. I mean, it's McKinnon.
Jost.
Well, they'll trade Duchesne, most likely. So,
that's
I mean,
what
that's...
Said, that's what we said in
so,
February.
I mean, maybe Duchesne gets traded and they...
That would open up a
Grimaldi or Greer gets a shot. But then, I mean, Landeskog, Soderberg, Wilson, Coburn,
yeah, those guys.
Como, Andraghetto, Comfer, Rantanen, Jost, Yakupov, Nieto. I mean, I don't see who they would bench.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you can. I know there's probably fans who would argue certain guys should be benched, but not with what they make.
Mm-hmm. And that's as hard as it is as a fan to take that into consideration. You have to take their salary into consideration.
Yeah.
When these guys are making $3 or $4 million or 2.4 or whatever it is, they're going to play until they prove that they shouldn't be out there. They played Boschman 26 minutes a night last year.
Yeah.
He did nothing to deserve that other than have a $4.5 million salary. So,
right.
We'll see how it goes. I think, can he make the Avs? Yes. Will he? I'm going to, if you're putting
start
a gun
here.
To my head right now, no. He's
going
to
start
here and maybe be the first or second call up.
Yeah. I mean, and
him,
also,
him and Greer, like.
It also requires them trading Duchesne.
Right. Yeah. They'd have to trade.
Right
Duchesne.
Now is, like, kind of a coin flip.
I just never know.
I'm going less than a coin flip.
I mean, yeah.
I think he overplayed his hand and probably should have taken one of those less than stellar offers that he was looking for.
I mean, and the other thing is the most rumored package right now comes back from Columbus and it would include a forward. So at that point, it doesn't really open up a spot for a Rocco Greer.
But isn't the forward a prospect?
I
see Boone Jenner and I see...
Right, Boone Jenner put up like 35 points last year.
Well, yeah,
NHL,
if it's Jenner, obviously, but I also see... Pierre-Luc Dubois or whatever his name is.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay.
Who? Yeah, I mean, that's what I keep seeing is that and one of the defensemen is like pretty much the only rumor right now.
That's all I've seen, too.
So, running with the Herd Live, JP Williams, Nate Mallett, Topher Manassi. Take a break. Come back. Wrap it up. Aren't you guys sad we're wrapping up the first show? I'm not going to see you guys or talk to you guys for like
I'm going
to
make you
go
long. I'm going to make you go long.
I'm going to see you on Friday.
Dude, we'll be back.
This is Duncan Siemens of the San Antonio Rampage, and you are listening to Running with the Herd, live on Stucknut Radio Network.
You're listening to Running with the Herd live on the Stucknut Radio Network.
Just a couple dudes sitting around talking about scotch.
And homebrewing.
And homebrewing. And getting sick.
Homebrewing horror stories.
Yeah. So how was that beer? When will it be done, Topher?
Like 3 more weeks.
Okay, that's not too bad. 3 weeks. And Nate, your scotch story?
Oh, I went down to Mexico. It's open bar. I figure not open bar, it's all inclusive. What better way or better time to try scotch for the first time?
You've never had scotch?
I did when I was young, and I'm sure it was freaking plastic bottle scotch.
J&B.
Bottom shelf.
I like J&B.
So, as you are well aware, I went to the main bar, and I snapped a picture with their scotch selections.
My man!
I tweeted it to you.
Yeah.
And I took some suggestions, and I tried it. I tried a Good. Scotch neat. The bartender gave me a look like I was fucking crazy.
So little, you don't want a Coronarita?
Little drop of water.
Good man.
Like you said, to open it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will preface it by saying I was already really drunk. So I did finish it, but it was quite awful.
Oh.
Boo. I think.
Well,
I think.
All right.
Maybe
well,
I just need to try a good scotch. I don't know. I had they had no single malt there, so.
Okay.
I had to have a blended.
There's your problem.
I was going to say, you should see if Johnny Walker comes down here, because they sometimes have like free taste testing. You get to try like all of them. I did that when I lived in D.C.
That's dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, I got like free like glass of the blue.
Really?
Yeah. They give you like a glass of, they give you like two glasses of red, a black, and a blue.
God damn.
I will say, I didn't dislike it enough to not try another.
I mean, the spectrum, and we'll get to hockey in a minute, but the spectrum is huge. It really is.
It was Dewars, by the way.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was Dewars.
I'll get you set up.
All right, then.
We'll go find a hipster bar and show them what's up.
I meant to ask, have you been to any of the whiskey distilleries in the up north or out west?
As in the north of San Antonio or north of? There was one up 281 that actually is new, that is some of the guys from Real Ale, and they have a White Lightning, and they have one that's kind of peated, and I don't remember the name of it. It's terrible, but because I was drunk when we went up there, but it was good.
A friend of mine said something about one out by Fredericksburg, and I was wondering if you had been there.
No,
I'd like to try that. I've never done that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm all about supporting it. I'll drink it for sure. Absolutely. All right, do we have anything left over from?
Yeah, we got a couple of things here.
I know we were going to talk was there anything left over from free agency or any of the signings or any of that?
Not really from free agency, but do you want to go over some of the guys from the Blues system that we may see here?
Sure, why not? Let's speculate.
Okay, so probably the top one that I'm looking forward to, if he does in fact come here, is he was just picked in the last pick of the first round. How do you say his name there, Topher? Klim?
Oh,
you're like the foreign language.
Klim Kostin.
Klim Kostin.
I don't really know Russian, so
he's
don't
a
call me on that.
Klim Kostin.
He was considered by some experts to be top 10, 15 pick, but he had shoulder surgery in January, so he slipped. Big kid, a lot of skill, great skater. Does have some work ethic issues because he is Russian.
Ooh.
So there is that. But mostly he worked hard.
Now,
and then there's other times where he just disappears.
Is the work ethic are you generalizing? Are you stereotyping? Or is it, have you actually heard that he's?
No, I've
kind
heard
of
that.
Got, okay.
That's
okay.
That's the scouting report, is he'll play hard for a couple of shifts and
give
then
up on a play.
He'll disappear for
a while.
He
works really hard in the offensive zone, doesn't backtrack.
Well, actually, it says he's even inconsistent with his backchecking. Like, sometimes he backchecks like a son of a bitch, and other times he's just kind of like, da 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 da. He's out there doing twizzles.
Great.
Did Don Cherry write the scouting report?
No, it wasn't Don Cherry.
He'll fit right in.
The comparison I saw was obviously to another Russian, Alex Radulov. So, if he can turn into a Radulov,
that's the official, like, hockey media.
All lazy Russians get compared to Alex Radulov, right? Okay, so you got him, and then there's another young kid, Tage Thompson, power forward. 6'5". He went to UConn in the NCAA and had two pretty good seasons for being young, you know, 18, 19 years old, 14 goals and 19 goals. He's good defensively, so he was the 26th pick in 2016, so another first-rounder there. Samuel Blaze had 26 goals as a rookie last year in Chicago.
Really is.
Sixth-rounder in 2014. Really quick and speedy and a really good shot.
So these are the top Blues prospects.
These are the
this
top
is
Blues
why
prospects
we're assuming
that could possibly
sure. okay.
see time in San Antonio if that rumor that we talked about earlier comes to fruition.
Yeah.
Another one I had on here, but after talking to some Blues fans, I don't see it, is Ivan Barbashev. He spent 46 games in Chicago last year, had 37 points, but he also spent 30 games in St. Louis as an injury replacement, and they're saying he's probably slotting into the third line up there.
Okay.
And then we go to defense, and you got Vince Dunn, second-round pick in 2015. He had 45 points with the Wolves last season, so another high-powered defenseman. And fun fact, he also knocked a guy out in the tunnel at Allstate Arena.
Did you watch the
Curtis
video?
Curtis Gabriel.
I
found the video,
up
but
just
it was slow to load, so I just kind of let it go. But there was a fight on the ice. I think they were the secondary altercation. So in the AHL, the rule is if you're the secondary altercation – I can't remember if it's 10 minute or a game, but it was near the end of the game, so they just got tossed. And as they were in Chicago at the Allstate Arena, both dressing rooms, or a one tunnel leads to both dressing rooms. So as the players were walking back, Gabriel kept chirping at Dunn, and Dunn just turned around and laid him out, basically. So that's kind of fun.
He's not a big kid either. He's 6'1", 185.
And he's got a suspension history, too, so maybe he's just a dirty player.
I got to say, I'm looking at his stat line right now. It's three seasons with OHL.
OHL, yeah.
With the Ice Dogs. And, the numbers don't drop off at all when he comes into the AHL.
Yeah, so just continues
like,
right along.
Jesus Christ.
One other defenseman, Petteri Lindbom. Let's have Lindbom and Lindholm on the same line.
Poor Dan. At least he doesn't have Agostino and Agostino.
Yeah. Sixth rounder in 2012. He's kind of the opposite of Dunn. He's a big kid, block shots, almost a Duncan Siemens type. Yeah. Can be mean, but he does have a good shot. Won't score a whole lot. But he's another guy that could also start in St. Louis, depending on if they can move a defenseman out of there. They have a couple too many. And again, a lot of this is all speculation as far as who comes. I think we're going to get some, but as far as who comes here, they might send guys to Vegas. Vegas has like 11 guys in the NHL signed on defense, but only two for Vegas right now. So they got a lot of work to do between now and training camp.
Yeah.
And then the one I think that's probably the slam dunk just because of how many people are talking about it is Ville Husso. He's a fourth rounder in 2014. He's a goalie. Had a .920 save percentage with the Wolves last year, split time between them and the ECHL. He is their top goalie prospect. And he's Finnish. Finnish goalies do well.
Yeah.
Tuukka Rask and Pekka Rinne.
Yep.
So those are just some names to keep an eye out for.
And again, speculation, but like you said, were there smoke?
I went through and I found what I thought to be their top guys.
Right,
so
right.
That's who we might see here.
But like you said, the only one that we've... Rutherford said... Straight up, Husso, San Antonio.
He put Husso in the same sentence with San Antonio, and then he kind of threw in, and maybe some other guys, too.
Right. It's interesting. Very interesting, man.
So you want to talk about this nightmare schedule?
Yeah. I mean, it usually is.
Did you see we travel 4 more miles in Texas? Somebody went through and found the number of miles traveled by every age.
I didn't. You know what? I didn't realize it was that close.
It's 4 miles.
I didn't realize it was that close. I think I saw it. I retweeted it, and then I put my phone down because I was like, "Of course."
Can we find a shortcut between here and Cedar Park so that they can jump ahead of us?
Yeah,
it's got to be a shortcut of some kind, right?
I'm sure.
Since we go up there, 100.
We'll make
times.
Them for. We'll steal some equipment so they have to drive back to the facility and get some more.
But that, like, I understand miles traveled. We're in San Antonio. We're on an island down here. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
The problem I have is between, and I tweeted this earlier, between November and February. So February is our rodeo trip. But in November, they have 2 home games and 10 road games.
Yeah.
And then February, it's 1 and 12. So in a two months that's out rough. Of a 6 or 7 month season, they have 3 home games and 22 road games.
Yeah, that
disparity is fucking ridiculous.
But I mean, the rodeo road trip is a big part of it.
Well,
November being flipped, but I mean,
if you have a rodeo road trip and the league knows this going in, you need to balance out those other months.
Yeah,
I remember a couple years ago.
A couple of them are going to have to be home heavy, obviously, but you shouldn't have 2 months like that in one season.
I remember a couple years ago it was a disaster, which I guess this year will be similar, which is because they were doing the renovations.
Yeah.
So they had to do like 6 months of home games in like 3.5 months.
If you recall, they were a decent road team last year compared to how bad they were at home. Yeah. So, hey, maybe it works in their favor. They didn't do well during the rodeo road trip, though.
No, that was
I mean, the rodeo road trip this year is ridiculous. They have 12 games and 11 cities in 25 days.
Yeah. Need a team in Houston.
And the way I'm looking at it, I think they only get to come home once, where in the years past they've had a chance to come home in the middle of the trip.
And just fly back
out. 2 or 3 times, yeah.
Yeah.
So they'd finish up on Sunday wherever they were, fly back, and they'd actually have a day or two of practice at home and then fly out to their next.
I mean, there's no way if they're playing a game every other day that they can do that.
No. Need but we got a lot of midweek games this year.
Yeah.
I felt like there was a lot last year, too, and it's even more.
Well, it seems like they played a lot last year, but a lot of them were on the road, and it seems like we have more at home this year. And I'm wondering if that's because they came up with a schedule before the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
So they're leaving.
They knew
they had to
these days were open.
Yeah, they had to leave more weekend dates open.
The AHL schedule every year is just, it's fucking interesting, but you just never know what you're going to get. I mean, outside of knowing that the rodeo road trip is there, I mean, it's a toss-up.
You're never going to hear me complain about playing Texas 14 times. I don't like it, but I'm not going to complain about it because it's minor league sports.
Yeah.
You go watch the missions, you're going to see the same seven teams all year. Seven teams.
Yeah, I mean, league is small.
So, I mean, it's just minor league sports. It's the nature of the beast. These teams aren't, you know, most of them are bleeding money, and it's because of their travel costs.
I'm amazed they don't play Texas more, to be honest.
I am too.
Yeah. I miss Houston.
God. I don't really miss Oklahoma City, but.
Yeah, I mean, but it was still.
It was nice having three or four teams within a bus ride.
Was there a year where Houston and OKC were in the league at the same time?
I don't know. Stat, man, look that up.
I don't look up the divisions in one moment.
You're putting me on the spot, and I don't know.
You got anything else?
No. I just wanted to vent about the schedule.
Yeah, it sucks, but, man, everything.
Oh, in the last weekend, they did that again.
Oh, where they play Texas.
It's a 3-3. They play Grand Rapids Friday, Texas Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
God. So hopefully we won't need a point or two going into that last weekend.
You know what? I'd be happy. If we were that close to making it into the playoffs.
Oh, it's almost easier when they're like, shit.
And you could just be like,
They're like 30 points out
and
of the playoffs.
And then they get on fire for the last couple weeks of the season. It's like, are you serious? The shit.
I don't know if I can handle the stress of a playoff chase.
Yeah.
2012-13, Houston and Oklahoma City were both
teams. One year.
Who else was in the division that year?
Texas won it, then Charlotte, Oklahoma City, Houston Arrows, and in last place with 67 points in 76 games, your San Antonio Rampage.
That's a good division, though. Mm-hmm. Outside of Charlotte obviously being in the Western Conference.
Topher's like the Paulie Walnuts to your Dan Patrick.
I don't get that.
You don't listen to Dan Patrick?
No. Dan Patrick
and his
minions.
Paulie Walnuts is like his producer, and he's always looking up stats.
Oh. Nah, okay, I get it. I've heard this. I've listened to the show enough where it. Who's Paulie Walnuts, though?
He's just the...
Is that a nickname for one of the guys? Did one of the guys leave or something?
Yeah, because, like, no, seriously, when you said that, I thought Sopranos.
Well, maybe that is from The Sopranos. It's Paulie, though.
I should probably get us off the air.
Fuck it.
It's the train is derailing.
I don't have to talk to these people for two more months.
The website's runningwithaherd.com. I'm on Twitter at TheJPWilliams. Nate's on Twitter at RampageNate. No way. We keep it all. We do it live, baby. Topher's on Twitter at Topher Manassi. This has been the Midsummer Wrap-Up, Midsummer Updates.
Midsummer Classic.
Midsummer Night's Dream. I actually have that Yankee candle in my office right now. It's called Midsummer Night's Dream.
I have no idea how to react to that right now.
I think this needs to end.
Take us out.
All right, for Nate Mallett.
For Topher Manassi.
For JP Williams.
This has been Running With The Herd Live. The website's runningwithherd.com. You already have the Twitter handles. Hey. You two, I'll see you at the SAFC game on Friday.
Pre-gaming?
Yeah, we're pre-gaming. Yeah.
All right.
So any Rampage fans, come drink with us and...
Come look us up. We'll all be together. All right.
We'll see y'all. We'll see y'all later.
See ya. You told everybody in the neighborhood what a dirty mistreater that it was no good. But someday, baby, you ain't worried my life anymore.